Teaching Bible Radio. Making plain the word of Jesus, just to let the people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio. Making plain the word of Jesus, just to let the people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio. Come to the house of worship, and we thank God for letting us be here today. Amen. We're glad you've chosen to join us for this worship service, and we want to go right ahead, as it is our custom, and offer up a word of prayer to the Lord. Call a friend, a neighbor, relative, even an enemy. Tell them to tune in right now as we break the bread of life. Amen. So I'd like to ask you to pray with me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name today. Father, we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we thank you today, Lord God, for everything that you have done for us. We thank you above all for Jesus, your darling son, who you allowed to come into this world and be crucified in order that sinners would be able to be saved. And so, Father, today we want to thank you for raising Jesus from the grave, giving mankind the only hope that there is, and that is through faith in your risen Son, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Father, today we pray the Holy Ghost will convict all over the world, Lord God, many that will hear the sound of our voice, Lord God, and that they would come running asking, what must I do to be saved? So Father, today we ask you to save somebody under the sound of my voice. Wash us today, O God, cleanse us and forgive us. We know that you love us. That's the reason why you did what you did when you sent your son out of eternity in order to die for wretches like us. And so, Father, today we want to thank you for all that you do for us, Lord God. We thank you for your church. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for all your grace, Lord God. We thank you for revelation of your word. And Father, we thank you for healing. And Father, we thank you for everything, Lord God, because you didn't have to do it, but you keep on doing it. Anyway, generation after generation after generation. So, Father, we love you today, the best we know how. And, Father, we admit we don't know how to love you as much as we should. And so today, Lord God, we ask you to empower us by your Spirit to give you even more love. And in order to really know that, you have said in your word that if we love one another, then that's how we can show forth that you have loved us. And so, Father, we pray for more revelation, more understanding. And, Father, we just thank you for putting up with us as we take this stand in these last and evil days. Father, we know our country and the whole world is in turmoil right now. So, Father God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray that you touch your own covenant folks, those who you called out from the beginning in order to send your son through the line of their flesh, from the flesh of Abraham to the flesh of Jesus, your only begotten Son. Father, bless every home, every represented here. Touch those that are mourning today, Lord God. Lift that heaviness up off their spirit right now, Lord God. Because you are the master and you have all power and all control, even over death and the grave. And so, Father, we bless you today. We give you praise. We ask you to bless the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts, that they would be acceptable in your sight. For you truly are, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And Father, we give you all praise and all the glory. Speak from your word to our souls today, Lord God, that we might be able to be blessed. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus, your risen and only begotten Son, and in his righteous name that we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for His grace and His mercy. Amen. It is a blessing once again, as we said. We're going to go right ahead and put in here in the Word, because we do have a good Word from the Lord today. And we want to call your attention to a couple of passages in the Word of God. Amen. As it is our custom. And I want to talk with you today because it is time for the church. It is the very simple message and the intention of God for all people through the natural processes of the fallen nature of mankind, which we all have inherited from Adam. However, God, through His perfect Word, is calling for all people to return to the practical simplicity of the Bible, which is the Word of God. God has given His Word, and this is a central fact that is in the world. And most nations, including America, have now pretty well abandoned God's Word. And that's not the worst information. The saddest information is that much of the visible church has abandoned God's Word. They've substituted it for all kinds of different things, and we're not going to waste much time with that. And if you've been paying any attention, you know what I'm saying is true. People don't exactly try to explain to you what the content of the Word is. And I want to put a few verses in your mind just to get our thoughts moving here today on our subject of the practical simplicity of the Bible, which is the Word of God. And we want to be very explicit about that, because this is where the departure has happened. This is where we are on the slippery slope, because Scripture is not an important thing in the modern church. Okay, and God said that. He said there will come a falling away, an apostasy, toward the end of the days of the earth. And so we see that great apostasy. And it's not talking about fallen people falling away. They're already away. We're talking about people who are supposed to be saved falling away from the truth. In other words, setting His Word on the back burner, putting regular worldly pursuits and ideas in front of God's Word and above God's Word. And really, technically, you can't really do that, because God's Word will stand when the heavens and earth have passed away. We say it all the time in this ministry. But we want to make you understand today and help you to understand through God's conviction of the Spirit that there is a practical simplicity of the Bible which God has given. And the Bible is the entire Word of God has been given, and it was finished in 95 AD approximately, as we know time today, which is all centered around the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And it will not change. Jesus said that the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but My Word will never pass away. And I want to hang these thoughts around this verse, which is not in your notes or your handouts. But Jesus put it this way in John 6:63, the latter part of the verse. He says, "The flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. And the words that I speak to you," Jesus said, "they are spirit and they are life." So if you continue in the Word, you are continuing in the Spirit. And He said, and Paul, as he wrote to the Galatians chapter number 5, said, "This I say," in verse 16, Galatians 5:16, "walk by the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And he talks about the great battle between the flesh and the Spirit. For the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to another, that you may not do the things that you would. God says, "My Word is Spirit." And think about it this way. In John 4, Jesus told the woman at the well that God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, people have said, and I saw some things posted today online about people talking about the Holy Spirit. One brother said that the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily do some of the things we hear about in the church, that people have blamed on the Holy Spirit, but He also makes you love one another. He will make you repent. He will make you apologize. He does everything that is a good thing to bring people together. He is not a spirit of division, but He is a spirit of togetherness. And He is there for you and me. And we're going to talk about that in this message today. So what I want you to understand, and most of you do, if you tune in here, you certainly have heard. And we know you wouldn't be here if you thought otherwise. So I just want to lay some practical thoughts in your mind today to help you meditate on these things that God has said, because I know that they are going to bless you. And in the times we live in, brothers and sisters, we really need it. We certainly need it. and it's not going to be something that we can cast behind our back. We want to keep the Word of God in the forefront, because it is the Word of God that builds us up, and is the Spirit of God who administers the Word to us so that we can be able to do God's will in the earth. Now, we live, as I mentioned, in a culture, the whole world primarily has set God's Word, the Holy Bible, on the back burner. You got people who have bought out contradictory books and called them the Word of God. But the truth is, the one that's the most dependable, and that of all the so-called holy books, is God's Word, the Bible, and you can count on it. And as we mentioned, and I'll say one more time just before I relax my tongue, that it is the Word of God, and the heavens and earth shall pass away. Jesus said it's easier for the heavens and the earth to pass away than for one jot or tittle to in any wise fail that should not be fulfilled. God's Word is going to be fulfilled. So in order to get us into this today, I want you to look at Jeremiah. We'll talk about the problem first. Why is it that man pushes away God's Word, even though God has centered the whole world on His Son, Jesus the Christ? No one can really deny that. You can act like you do, but really you can't. Because it's 2021, because the Lord Jesus Christ was born into the world approximately 2,021 years ago. And so this whole world time system is centered on God's Son, Jesus the Christ. A lot of people want to try to go to the Father and skip the Son. You can't do that either. God didn't center the world on God the Father. He centered it on God the Son, so that the attention would be given to His Son. The Scripture says that it's God's good pleasure that all the fullness should dwell in Jesus, the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. So if you try to skip the Son, Jesus said that you cannot come except you come by me. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so many other times. But God the Father has stated that the fullness of His Word dwells in His Son. His Son is the living Word, and He has come in the flesh, and God has centered this whole planet everywhere on Jesus the Messiah. So you need to come around and understand who Christ is and realize that God sent Him because He loves you, and He is the only Savior of the world. You know what? God is for you. So for you to be against Him, that would be a horrible thing. The Word says that if God be for us, who shall be against us? That just doesn't mean people won't be against you. It just means they won't be successful against you. That you will persevere even though many things will be against you. But God's Word will prevail, as we said, and we'll say it again, when the heavens and earth have passed away. So let's look and see, what is the problem? Why are people like that? Why do we tend to reject God's Word? Why is the church gone into this apostasy, where it has fallen away from God's Word rather than embracing the Word, which is the Word of truth? Let's talk about that whole problem just a little bit today, and I want to help you get some thoughts in your mind that will help carry you a little further, because we need God's Word severely. And I can speak for myself, I desperately need God's Word, because it's God's Word that has brought me from as bad as I used to be, and I was way worse at the time I began to observe His Word than I am today. And I know God is still working on me, and He's going to make me better the day by day, because He's been doing it for a long time. But let's look and see, what is the problem? Why are we so obstinate? Why do we reject the truth? Why do people write stuff and say that it's the Word of God and it isn't? I want to be very plain and point blank on this. And the reason is very simple. Let's ask Jeremiah the prophet to reveal for us a few things as we take a look at Jeremiah chapter 17 in the 5th verse. Thus saith the Lord, it says here, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. In other words, when we try to trust in man, because man is always going to fail you, I guarantee you that, because he can't get you out the grave. Only God has done that. God has provided the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus, His Son, from the grave. It was witnessed by many witnesses and testified to by His Word. And He did that so that we would not have a fear of death, and that we would boldly proclaim this good news, that only God the Son has given us proof that God the Father has provided a remedy for the problem of death. And death is the most awful thing you and I have to deal with in this world. But yet God has given the solution, and only God has given that solution by raising his own son from the dead. And that's why the world, one big reason why God centered this earth and all of the time system around Jesus the Christ, is because he's the only one who has done that. So whatever else you trust in the end, whoever else you trust in the end, they never have defeated death. The founder of it is dead and in the grave. So it doesn't make any sense why you would trust a dead man. Doesn't make any sense why you would trust a spiritually dead person. Somebody who's telling you something that is not true. Why would you trust them? I want to ask that question and put that in your thoughts this morning. Why would you trust a lying person who has never gotten out the grave and has no solution? All they can do is give you a ministry of death. And the fact is, Jesus, the Messiah, got up with all power and authority in his hands. And so Jeremiah helps us understand the problem. He says here, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Now that's what all the other things that profess to be a path to God are, or ways that man has created with no proof, no resurrection from the dead. Every founder of anything else that calls itself something you can trust is in the grave. And so I want you to trust in the Christ. So don't put your trust in man or make flesh, the arm of your flesh, whose heart departs from the Lord. Don't do that. Don't accept those things, because they are not going to get you ultimately where you need to be, which is in the good graces of Almighty God, saved and risen out of the grave, that even death, as we looked at in last week's message in Isaiah 25, is swallowed up in victory. So many other places that prophecy was given. So Jeremiah 17, these people depart from the Lord, verse 5. Verse 6, for he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. In other words, that's a picture of total desolation of somebody who tries to pursue man's way to approach God, which is what religion is man trying to approach Almighty God. But God has already given his way that all people might be saved. And so we want to trust God and not trust in man. It's a simple message here Jeremiah preaches. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. That means you continually trust in Almighty God, and whose hope is the Lord. The Lord is. You trust in the Lord because he is the only one that gives us hope, which is faith to continue to believe that God will do everything that he says. Hope is a status of continual faith. It's not like I hope it'll happen. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. It's like I'm so sure that it will happen. Because why? Because God said it, and he proved it by raising his son out the grave, that he has the only solution to all this mess going on in this life. So when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, don't lean to your own understanding. Does that make sense on earth? No, because there's nothing on earth that really tells us that it's so that man can be risen from the dead, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. You don't have to understand it. Just believe it. Why? Because God has spoken it. He's configured the world around Christ, the risen Son. And so that's a good reason to investigate the resurrection of Christ. And it will give you faith to trust. Why is the world surrounded by him with the time system of the whole world? Every man, woman, boy, and girl around this planet counting time based on the first advent of Christ. And that was 2,021 years ago, according to our present calendar. This calendar been around all my life. And so in either case, let's look on here just a bit more. Going on in Jeremiah 17, it says here, when you trust in the Lord, and the Lord is your hope, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord is, verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. God says, if you trust me in my word, that I will be there for you, and you'll be as the psalmist said in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that brings forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Jeremiah agrees with the psalmist, and I agree with the psalmist. If you keep on walking by faith and not by sight, do I need to see it? No, I don't. But I'm just going to keep on trusting God's word, the practical simplicity of the Bible, which is the word of God. When you do that, God will strengthen you in the inner man. He will build you up. He will give you victory over sin. He will give you assurance in a time of trouble. He'll just heal you in all the times of when your mind is wounded by evil philosophy and the lies of this world. And baby, let me say there are plenty. We're just getting into a much, much worse time of that every day. People looking at folks who lie all the time in the world, all the bad systems in the world, and being wounded and hurt by lies when they could trust in Almighty God who has given His Son, raised Him out of the grave so that we can be saved. So I would say there's a drastic comparison in trusting in the Lord, even leaning not to our own understanding and acknowledging Him in all our ways. Amen. Let's move a little further here. Jeremiah goes on to say that not only will you be like a tree, but you don't need to be worried in the year of drought. I would say 2020 was a year of drought. And you know what? 2021 is getting off to a pretty good start. That there's a pretty terrible drought in the land right now. So you and I need to continue to be anchored in the truth of God's word, which is the practical simplicity of the Bible, which is God's word. Keep on trusting God. He'll take you through the drought and bring you into a season of fruitfulness, and it'll be just up the way for you. No matter what, God says, I am able and I'll be with you all the way even to the end of the world. So don't let all of the stuff going on in the culture thwart your purpose or your idea or your faith or any of that. Stay in God's word. Keep on walking by faith and not by sight. Moving on here, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. This is the problem. This is where we want to get here. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you want to ask the question, why are people so jacked up? Why are they so messed up? Why do they lie like they breathe? Why do they go through this world making solutions that are really more ignorant than the problems? Why do they keep on doing things that they just add and stack sin upon sin and keep on hating each other? Why is there so much hatred in the culture? Because man's heart is deceitful above all things. It's the most deceitful thing on earth is the heart of man. Is deceitful above all things, the Bible says, and is desperately wicked. Why is that? Because man was born in sin. We have a sinful nature and we have a gravity and a proclivity to draw ourselves to sin rather than to the righteousness, which is God's word. God's word teaches us how to be right. It teaches us how to do right. It teaches us how to pray right. It teaches us how to walk right. It teaches us how to be clean in the inner man. It starts to wash away the filthiness of our own nature. And you know what? We need to be truthful. Yes, we are. All of us, the most seemingly righteous people, sometimes are the worst. And I'm not trying to single anybody out. I'm just saying everybody has a sin problem. And only one person has the solution to the sin problem, and his name is Jesus, the Son of God. He is the one who was wounded for your transgressions. Although he had done nothing, he was bruised for your iniquity. He was chastised for your peace. And by his stripes, they beat him like he stole something, but he never said a mumbling word and he never did any wrong. He never sinned in the sight of Almighty God. But God poured out his judgment upon his Son so he could let a wretch like me and like you, if you trust Christ, be able to say that I know I'm clean. Because why? God provided a way that I could be clean in his sight. It's not by works of righteousness. We often quote Titus 3 and 5, but by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So God wants to renew your spirit. He wants to renew you. He wants to give you hope so that you don't have to go around fearful and worried and wondering what's going to happen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust that he gave his Son. He so loved you, he gave his only begotten Son so that whosoever, God's got an open door for everybody. Whosoever believes in him. You know what? God has an open door with no prejudice. He says, however you are, whoever you are, come as you are, trust in my son, believe that I raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. You know what? God sent the church out to preach this gospel. And it's gospel because it's good news. It's the best news on earth. It's the best news in time. It's the best news in eternity that God would take people with a deceitful, wicked heart, give his son in order to cleanse them from their sin and adopt them into his family. That's the gospel, beloved. God loves you just like you are. And he sent his son to cleanse us from all sin. And whosoever, that means anybody of any nation, kindred, tribe, or tongue, or people, who believes in him will not perish. God promises that to me and you. But you will have everlasting life. What does that mean? A proper relationship with Almighty God. That's what everlasting life is. It's not about time. Every soul God made is an eternal soul. All of them will continue into eternity. Saved or lost, you'll only be in one group or the other. You'll be in the saved group. That means you've trusted Christ Jesus and believe God is raising from the dead. Or you'll be in the lost group. That means you have not trusted Christ Jesus. And you do not believe that God is raising from the dead. You do not trust God's word, which is the authoritative document that will be here when the heavens and the earth have passed away. It's more important than every document that's ever been published. Any document that's ever been published, I don't care which one you name. Almighty God's word is the practical, simple thing that God has given. And it's for all nations, kindred, tribes, and tongues and people. To the Jew first, it's for the Jewish people first to whom he came, and also to the Gentile, which talks about all the rest of the people in the world other than the Jews. And so you need to get where you understand and trust that God has given his word. And realize we have a deceitful heart that keeps on turning us to something else other than God and other than his word. So when we trust in the Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, trusting in Jesus the Son, the Bible has a promise. It says, you shall be saved. Saved means I take you out of the group of fallen mankind who is going on doing their own way, listening to false preachers and lying different kinds of folks with rituals and ceremonies that cannot do anything for you. Because you know what? God is only accepting what Jesus has done for you. He will not accept rituals and sacrifices of any sort, because God is not satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats or any other kind of rituals or sacrifices. He is only satisfied by his own son. He said several times in the New Testament that this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. God was pleased with Jesus from eternity up until today, all through the life that he lived on the earth as he walked among men, and he did no wrong, no harm, no, there was no deceit in his mouth. And yet he came to bear the sins of many and to satisfy the wrath of Almighty God against all that have sinned who put their faith in him. So we pray today that you will trust Christ because of the practical simplicity of the Bible, which is the word of God. America started to shoot down the tubes not long ago when we cast out the word of God, and it has gotten worse and worse. Hasn't gotten better. You know what? We have not recovered. We acted as though there was a problem with God's word. And so we took it out of the center of our culture. And now today everybody wants to know, what happened? How did we get here? Well, we got here because you threw God out. You cannot mention his son. God is not satisfied with that. I want to let you know, I don't care what nation you are. When you cast out Almighty God, you just bought yourself trouble. Because all you have is the deceitful heart of men, and all of them are imperfect, and they have all failed, and none of them can get you into the presence of Almighty God. None of them can give you the peace that passeth all understanding. God has one way to settle the accounts of everyone who trusts in the name of Jesus the Christ, his son. Jeremiah in verse 9 again, chapter 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The sinful human heart might do anything is what that means. It's like flipping around and it's always looking for its own glory and not looking for the glory of Almighty God. And God has given that to us all through his son, Jesus the Christ. Verse 10, I, the Lord, God says, searches the heart, and I try the reins, even to give every man, notice that phrase, every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. God is the one who will help you with a deceitful heart. He's the one that will turn you away from sin and turn you toward righteousness. He's the one that will produce the good fruit like the tree planted by the rivers of water. The Bible says it brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Just like Jeremiah says here, and the blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river. See that same idea. God says, I got your back. Trust in me. Believe that my Son covers you for your sin, and my Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you and lead you and guide you to all truth. And so moving on with the passage here in Jeremiah verse 10, I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God wants to alter the fruit of what we do. He will give that fruit that he promised to those who meditate in his law day and night. Now move with me quickly to the New Testament book of Jude, which is the little epistle back there with 25 verses just before Revelation, all the way to the right. Find that, and we'll get to that in 1 minute. I want you to understand here that as stated by God through Jeremiah the prophet, that the natural sin of all human beings is an internal reality of the tendency to do wrong things because of the deceitfulness of the heart, which tends to be selfish in its choices and prone to violate the simple commands of God, which he has given to illuminate the impact of the fallen nature and to reveal to everyone their need for a Savior. That's why God gave the law. Because when we look at the law, it's a mirror, James says. We looked at that on our last lesson. And God gave the law so you could just use it to see how wretched you are and the reason why you need a Savior. And God's the only one that can fix that wretchedness. And so I want you to understand that he gave his law, and it's a mirror, James said. Remember that from Wednesday. And it shows us how sinful we are so that we can reach out for the Savior. The Holy Spirit is the schoolmaster to lead us to Jesus so that we can desire to be saved. You can't even do that on your own without God. So he leads us to in the paths of righteousness. Psalms 23 says, for his name's sake. That's why God shepherds us and leads us into the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. So I want you to see that whom Jesus, God has provided him so that through his only begotten Son, Jesus, we can all be saved. So the whole of the scripture is about the coming of the Christ, the Messiah, the Moshiach Nagid, to put it in the Hebrew words that used by Daniel. And he came in order to save you. It's great news. It's wonderful news. When you wrap your mind around it, you really don't have to understand it. Simply believe it, that God loves you and he's given his Son for you. When you do it, it'll be the most revolutionary thing you have ever done, and it will change all the circumstances and everything you're dealing with in this life and in the life to come. It will provide even eternal life. Now, let me get back to that point before we go to Jude. I want you to understand eternal life is not about time. Every soul God made will endure in all of time. That's the reason why God gave his every soul as an eternal soul, let's just say, and going on from Adam on up to now. That's why we will see them in eternity, whoever they are. And some will have chosen God and have been saved. Some will have chosen to believe his word, however much of it was revealed in their lifetime. Some of them will have rejected God and his word, and they will have rejected his Son. Now today, you know what? I think today we have more reason to embrace what God has said than we do to reject it. Mainly for a number of reasons. God has given you very practical everyday information. Your birth certificate is based on Jesus' birth certificate. Every tombstone in the graveyard is based on Jesus' birth and his death and his resurrection, because time is centered on that first advent of Christ. And you'll go in the graveyard and you'll see two dates in there. You'll see the date a person was born and the date they died, all based on the birth of Jesus the Christ. So understand that God has made him that way and put him in the center of life so that you and I can embrace him and know that he has the power and the solution for the problem of death. Other people who have rejected Christ The Bible says we'll go into a ceaseless eternity separated from God, where there will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. And I know people don't like to hear the word hell, but we need to preach it. I want you to understand that that's what hell is when you have went through your whole life and rejected God's practical, simple word, which commands every man, woman, boy, and girl to trust in Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, with the promise that God says, and you shall be saved. Why would you reject that if you know you're not right? You know what? I know I'm not right. I need Jesus badly. I don't know what you think, but I need him badly. I need him desperately because I know my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Even when I'm trying to do right, like Paul said in Romans 7, I find that there's an evil nature still within me that struggles and brings me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Read Romans 7 if you don't understand what I said. So understand this. God knows you have a sin problem, and that is deep within you because it came in you, which theologians like to call original sin. But God also sent his Son, who is even deeper than original sin, because he was with God in the beginning. It says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him there was not made anything that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So God sent that Son, Jesus, the eternal Word, who became flesh. John 1:14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. He sent his Son to die on the tree in order to punish him instead of me. And that might be a poem, and maybe you might want to write it. But he did it for you as well, beloved. Understand, he loves you, and he's made one way for all men, women, boys, and girls everywhere of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people to be made right in his sight. And that is by his grace. In other words, no one deserves the salvation that he provides, but God has provided it, and he gives it freely to the ones who accept the practical simplicity of the Bible, which is the Word of God. Trust in his Word. You may say, okay, Pastor, I read it and I didn't get it. You know what? Believe him first. Believe him and trust him. Pick it up again. Start with the gospel, the good news that God loves you just like you are. Even if you don't pick it up, trust in Christ and he will save you. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. So in Jude, let's go to the epistle of Jude. I want to just share a few verses here. Read the whole thing when you have time. Let's start at verse 17. Jude 1:17. I think I see a typo here. But Jude 1:17. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. Now listen to that definition. If that don't describe a lot of the modern church, I don't know what does. There will be divisive things with worldly minded people devoid of the Spirit. In other words, they do not have the Holy Spirit of God. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. In other words, keep on trusting in Christ no matter what you see in the world during the apostasy, the times when the men are falling away and professing to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, as it says in Titus 1:16, but praying in the Holy Spirit. In other words, pray in accordance with what God has written in his word, that he is spirit, as we mentioned in John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. In other words, even though people put the Bible away, don't want to preach it even in the church, you get in the Bible, stay in his word. Trust him no matter what anybody else does. Keep your mind in there. Keep on building it up on his most holy faith. In other words, study the practical simplicity of the Bible, which is the Word of God, no matter what you hear the visible church doing. They may not be doing what they should be. If they ain't preaching the Word, let me tell you something. They are not doing what we've been commanded to do. Jesus said, go into all the world and teach all the nations. And baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So there is no change in God's great commission. And his program is a teaching program. Go into all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then that word teaching, once again, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's right here, Genesis to Revelation. And then he said, and lo, I am with you all the days, even to the end of the world. But Jude says this time is coming when people who are ungodly, as he says here, he says that there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, that's denominations and things of that sort, worldly minded. In other words, they're concerned about the world, stuff in the world, rather than eternity with God. They are devoid of the Spirit. They have no Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches you God's Word. He's the one that reveals the Word of truth. He's the one that reveals the mind of God. He's the one that helps you wrap your mind around what God said in the practical simplicity of the Bible, which is God's Word. The Holy Spirit will be given to you and he will lead you and guide you to all truth. Jesus told his disciples, he is with you now, but he will be in you. After I rise out the grave, God will bless you as he did on the day of Pentecost. And you will be filled with the Holy Spirit and he will teach you and guide you. He told them they go out in Acts 1:8 that you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he sent them out on a world mission of teaching and preaching the gospel that God so loved the world, he gave Jesus the Christ, his only begotten Son. Jude is telling us here that in the latter days, this is what he says, in the last time, he says here, mockers will come following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, and devoid of the Spirit. That's Jude 1:20. But keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. You know what? No matter how much you stay in the Word of God, you're going to need his mercy. You're going to need his grace. You know why? Because the Word of God is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. Guess what? We aren't. But God says, I'll accept you on the basis of a sacrifice of my Son, Jesus the Christ, and I will move into your life, move right into your spirit, and be in there to lead you and guide you to all truth. You keep on studying the Word, I'll keep on blessing you and taking you to a higher level in my Son. And so that's what you and I have to do. Forget the world, forget the church that's fallen away, forget the apostasy. Get back into the practical simplicity of the Bible, which is the Word of God. Jude goes on with the warning. He says that keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Eternal life is actually a relationship with God. It's not an amount of time. It means I have a right relationship with God. That I am truthful about what God says in his word. I'm saying the same thing God says. That's what confession is. To say the same thing God says about every subject. If it's lying, I have to confess that I lie. And that's what confession is about. Be truthful about your deceitful heart and the condition that you have, and God will make you better. He will cleanse you and wash you with the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. He will cleanse you by the washing with water of his word, Ephesians says. So you and I got to stay into the practical simplicity of the Bible, which is the word of God. Because it's going to continue that work that God started, as he mentions in Philippians 1 and 6, that I am confident of this very thing. Paul said to the Philippians that he which began a good work in you will continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. Stay in the Word. The Word is the vehicle through which God washes our mind, our thoughts, our actions, our desires, our will, our emotions, everything. Everything is done through the instrument of the Word and the Holy Spirit. So you can't afford to get out of the Word because people want to talk about a bunch of craziness in the church or in the world, much less the world. If you find it in the church, switch to another channel. Come tune back to Teaching Bible so you can get a straight dose of the truth. Hallelujah. We just want to move along. Let's move on. Jude goes on to say, save others, he says, and have mercy on some who are doubting. There are people who doubt God's word. You know what? There's been so much confusion in the world. The devil is the author of confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. So when you see people confused about doctrine, get in here and find out what's really true. Get into the practical simplicity of the Bible, which is the word of God. Then you can shuck some turkeys and get some folks out your life that really aren't helping you. And you need to do that, and God will equip you to do so if you stay in the word and be diligent to show yourself approved. Like Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God as workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Find out what it really means, not what people say it means. Study for your own self and let God sanctify your mind and cleanse you every day. Moving on here, Jude goes on to say, have mercy on some. In other words, don't go around and this. I see this a lot too. People get up on a pedestal and then they want to look down on other people that are struggling. You know what? God has never told me get on a pedestal and look down on people who are struggling. You know what he said? Preach the gospel to every creature, no matter who they are, whatever sin they're stuck in is no worse than the sin I was stuck in. Tell them the truth. Teach them the gospel. Teach them the good news. You know what God said? If you catch the fish, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He told his disciples. He went to a bunch of fishermen, called them to follow him, told them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You just fish them. Just like when you're pulling fish out, you have no idea what kind you're getting till you pull them out. Then you get them, and now you can see what you got. So the same is with the gospel. Preach it to everybody, no matter who they are, no matter what sin they're dealing with. Don't worry about that. It's not your business. You catch the fish, God will clean them. He knows how to clean them and fix them up and get them cleaned up, just like he had to do those fishermen that he called that were fishing there back when he called them in Luke chapter 5. You can look it up when you get time. So the fact is, have mercy on some. Don't go around judging people. Have mercy on people who are doubting. And save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some, have mercy with fear. In other words, you got to be careful how you deal with some. Pray about it. The Holy Spirit will guide you on that. He says, and basically, even hating the garment that's polluted by the flesh. That means people can be pretty deeply entrenched in sin. Don't try to judge them, but do try to teach them the good news that God loves you just like you are. And he's the only one that can do anything about your problem. The only one got up out of the grave and declared all power is given to me in heaven and earth. So learn to administer the gospel to people no matter what situation they're in. Don't be the judge. Don't try to worry about it. Just share the good news. That's what God has called me and you to do. He says now, moving on, now to him who is able, keep that in mind, to keep you from stumbling or falling, the old KJV says, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy. You know what? I'm so happy about that benediction. God is able to make me, wretched old me, to be able to stand in his presence with exceeding joy. He's able to stand you up no matter what kind of situation you have going on. And he's able to do it. Why? Because he gave his perfect son to justify me and you no matter who we are by faith. When you believe in Jesus the Christ, who was absolutely perfect from creation all the way through before creation, from eternity until the cross, he was perfect, but yet he was wounded there on the cross for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, chastised for our peace. God poured out his judgment on his own son to let wretches like me and you go by grace, by his undeserved kindness. And he did that because he so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means me, you, anybody, name somebody, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you trust Christ today and believe that God is raising from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you and guide you to all truth. So as we have come to through many centuries from the initiation of the true church, back when God called those 12, and of course, we know Judas defected. We won't talk about that today, but let's go back to the initiation of the true church, that one that was called by the risen Christ and sent to all the world. That's who those original church were. They were sent out to preach to all the world with the simple message of repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, who rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God to make intercession for all who believe in him. We all need to return to the simplicity of God's message and keep his word and gospel as the priority
of our purpose, making his message clear to all people. That's what I want to do. I want to make people who never really gave much thought to why the world is configured around Jesus Christ. It's 2021 because when Christ was born, I want to let you know why and what you can do about it. How you can trust Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says you shall be saved. That's number one. God will fix whatever else you need fixed. He's the only one who can. He's the only one that can change your disposition about any kind of a problem or sin or anything you're dealing with. He can do it. He can turn you around. I can't. I don't know what to do to help you. You know why? Because I need him to help me get myself together. And most people won't be that point blank and black and white with you. But today here at St. Timothy, we want to let you know God loves you. No matter what you're dealing with, he is able to fix it. If you put your hand in his hand and trust in his son that he raised from the grave, you shall be saved. My time is getting away. Let me move on. So I want you to see here that we have been through many centuries since the original church. And look what the church is doing now. Concerned with all kinds of stuff other than the good news of the gospel of Christ. Much of it. There is still a real church that is still in the world and will continue to be until the trumpet sounds. But there's so much that you have to learn, you and I have to learn to sift through all the hogwash that's coming down the pipe so we can know what's true and what's false. You know how you do that? Take out the yardstick and measure it in God's word and find out, is it the simplicity of the Bible, which is the word of God. So the conclusion of all the drama of the failings of every human government, look at that, governments have went sour because they threw God's word out. That's why they're all twisted. Everywhere on the planet. Sadly, in America, it's extremely twisted, and we're seeing it every day right now unfold. What happens when you take a culture and take the word of God out, throw it out, this is what you get. This mess that we're going through right now. And you need to pray for those who are in authority over you, but realize that you don't even know what the problem is. They don't realize, oh, you know, when we tossed out the word, democracy doesn't work. It can't work because nobody is being guided by the truth. And so that's what the problem is. I was watching all the commentators in the news trying to figure out, what happened? How did we get here? Do you remember throwing the word out? Do you remember taking prayer out to schools? Do you remember outlawing things that God has said in this country that helped it to prosper to be the greatest country on earth? If you remember that, maybe you'll remember that Bible you threw out and get it back in the middle of your culture so things can get right. If we don't repent and return back to the word of God, what do we expect? That's what I have to say on that subject. Let me get off my soapbox. So I want you to understand this is what has happened here, and you and I really need to move forward in God. I only have a couple of minutes left. So I want to talk with you quickly here just about a subject that crossed my mind, and we'll conclude with this. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, it says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord, the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, which art and which was and which art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. God says, I'm taking back over all the kingdoms. I guarantee you that there's coming a day very soon, beloved, that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And those who have trusted in Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead shall be saved. They will be with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ as he ushers in his kingdom. It says here, moving on, Revelation 11, 16, and all the 24 elders that were set before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and which wast and which art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has reigned. God is waiting for that moment when he will seize the power of all the earth and everything will become his and Jesus his king, which you can read in Psalm 2, will be seated up on the throne. Hey, we just want to make sure you know today that that time is coming, beloved. We love you, and we know God loves you, too. Amen. And all you need to do to be right, the first thing you need to do to be right is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, and the Bible says you shall be saved. So I want to let you know that, and we've said that, and we hope that you understand and believe in the simple, practical word of God, and God has done that. And today, if you're not saved, we'd like to give you an opportunity to trust in Jesus Christ and know that he is your Savior. Believe that God is raised from the dead. He will save you no matter what you are dealing with, no matter what kind of situation you're in. If you simply trust him and believe that God is raised from the dead, pray with me. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we have heard the word, Father. We've heard about your Son. We know that he is the living Son of your mercy, that you send him in order to show us your great mercy, that you poured out your judgment, the judgment that I deserve, and poured it on him, and allowed him to hang there between heaven and earth, and die for my sin in order that I might